Well, today we are starting a new series, and I want to give you something this morning that will help you meet every one of your New Year's resolutions. And some of you are saying, you know what, it's too late because I've already set them and broke them, and it's not even the new year yet, but hearing that, this will get you back on track. And more importantly than just hitting resolutions or meeting goals or things that we set up, I want to give you something today that will allow you to receive every one of God's gifts and promises for your life. Because there are things that God has for you that you haven't experienced. And there are things that you are missing out on. There are incredible things that God has for you that you are missing. And I want to give you something today that is going to help you live a life that is a blessed life. And if you take this to heart and apply it, 2018 is going to be your most blessed year ever. That God has more for you than you can even imagine. But I want to give you some direction today. I want to give you some insight today. And I want this to be very, very helpful. Very helpful. It is going to answer and help what you need. Turn to somebody and say, aren't you glad you came out in the cold? All right. With the start of the year, oftentimes it's a time where we stop and reassess where we're going. We do it in our personal life, we do it in business, and we do it in church as well, because the new year gives us a clear line of an ending and a beginning, and it's just a good time to stop and look, to stop and consider our direction. And it's scriptural. It goes back, you know, from the beginning. It's something that God said, and this is found in scripture. He says this. He says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. Some of you just get a hold of that. You can just leave right now. That's exactly what you need. You're struggling with things because you haven't given any thought, or let alone careful thought, to your ways. And so when we stop and consider, God says, hey, it's important. Pay attention. Consider your ways. Turn to somebody and tell them, you need to look where you're going. You need to look where you're going, not just down the road, but in life and in your marriage and in your home. You need to be aware. Give careful thought. Pay attention to your direction. And so as a church, we ask the same question. Where are we going? Where are we going? And we wrestle with this. And so as we look at the next year, we're asking this question. What kind of church does God want us to be? What kind of church does God want us to be? You know, we talk about this is God's church and we put him first and, you know, we're just second and we want what God wants. But what does that mean? What does that look like? What kind of church does God want this church to be? And we give careful thought to it. We want to make sure that we are becoming the kind of church that God wants us to be. Not what I want, not what you want, but what God wants. What kind of church does God want us to be? And when we say church, oftentimes we think of a building or just kind of this anonymous group of people, but it's more than that. It's more than just a location. It's really made up of individuals. It's made up of lives. And so maybe a better question, an underlying question is this: what kind of Christians does God want us to be? What does that look like? What does that entail? What kind of Christian does God want us to be? So we look, we consider thoughtfully, we consider prayerfully, but oftentimes, again, we think of Christian, and again, it's this group, but what we all know, and if you have any type of relationship with Christ, you understand this, that yes, there is power when we come together, but it is made up of our individual relationship with God. That I love you, but I am thankful that you are not the determining factor in my relationship with God. That God loves me in spite of you. And that God can bless me in spite of you. But here's the thing, that I am also responsible for my relationship with God. And so really, the question that we're trying to get at in all of this, when we're faithfully considering our ways and saying, where are we going, where are we heading, is this: what kind of relationship does God want with me? What kind of relationship does God want with me? Turn to somebody and ask them, what kind of relationship does God want with you? You need to be carefully thinking about that. You need to consider that. It's not something just to assume. It's important. It's what everything is based on. What kind of relationship does God want with me in 2018? What kind of relationship does God want with me going into this new year? What does that look like? What does that entail? And so as we're considering this, as we're planning for this, as we're seeking God's direction in this, it's important. We're doing the things that you should do in your own life when considering your path. Is we're taking time out to pray. We're fasting. We're looking at God's word, seeking direction. It's whether we do it for a church or whether we do it for a business or whether we do it for life. Those are the steps. And so we're saying, God, what do we need to do? What kind of relationship do you want with us? What kind of Christian should be we? What kind of church do we need to become? And so as we were studying and praying and fasting, I discovered this incredible promise in Scripture. And it's found in 2 Chronicles. And as I was reading it, I just couldn't get past it. It just seemed to resonate. It was like as if God was saying, this is it. This is what I want. This is the kind of church that I want. This is the kind of Christian that I'm looking for. This is the kind of relationship that I want with you. And as I read this, this promise that God gives is really a perfect description of the kind of church we want to become. And more so than just a church, it's a beautiful and perfect description of the kind of relationship that I think all of us would want to have with God. It's found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. And understand what was going on is this promise was given to a group of people that were dedicating their church to God. They were asking the same types of questions we are asking today. God, what do you want this to be? God, what kind of tabernacle do you want this to be? What kind of church do you want this to be? What kind of relationship do you want us to be? And so they were seeking God and they were celebrating what God has done, but they were asking, God, what do you want for us? And in the midst of this, God speaks and he gives this incredible promise to them and ultimately to us. That this is the promise that God gives. I'm going to look at it here. Here's what we're reading. It says, this is what God is saying. He says, my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. And just hold that, because here's what he's saying. He says, I will see you and I will hear you. He's saying, I am describing putting myself into a position of undivided attention. I want us to try something here. I want you to find somebody. I want you to look at them right in the eyes, okay? So just look at them right in the eyes. Come on, eyeball to eyeball, and I know it might be a little uncomfortable. Eyeball to eyeball, okay? Eye to eye, and then here's what I want you to say. Okay, I'm listening. I'm looking you right in the eyes, and I'm listening. Okay. Now, for those of you that are married, that is a wonderful position to be in for great communication, isn't it? I'm looking at you, and I'm listening to you. I mean, there's an intimacy. You have my attention. There is no distractions. You've got my eyes. You got my ears. That is what God is saying to us. He's saying, I see you. And I hear you. When you come to this altar, it's like I look at you right in the face and say, okay, I'm listening. In this place, he says, that's where I want to be. When you kneel at your home, that you kneel beside your bed or at your couch and you're saying, God, I need you. God, we need a touch from you. God, we need an answer from you. God is promising. It's like I'm looking at you right in the face and saying, okay, I'm looking right at you. I'm listening. I'm listening. That is what God is promising. I was like, that is incredible. But he goes on. Look at what else he says here. He says, I have chosen and consecrated this temple so that my name may be there forever. He says this. He says, this is where I'm going to live. This is where I'm going to dwell. He says, I want to make it my address. I want to make this church my address. I want to make your heart my address. I'm not leaving. I'm living there. This is where I dwell. He goes on. Incredible promises. He says, my eyes and my heart will always be there. Where's a place that you'd say your heart is this morning? There's a saying that says home is where the heart is. There's a song that says I left my heart in San Francisco. Okay, what? Where's your heart today? Where would you say is a place that your heart is? Now, it can be all kinds of answers because different people, but here's the thing that it has in common. When we talk about where our heart is, it's a place we love to be. It's a place we long to be. There's emotion tied to that. Where's your heart this morning? God is saying, my heart, my emotion, where I long to be, where I love to be is here. Where I long to be, where I love to be is with you. He's saying, my heart is with you. This is the description that God is giving to us. He says, this is what I want to be. My heart is with you. That's where I long to be. If we would ask God, where's your heart? Where would you want to be? He said, I want to be right here. I want to be where you are. I want to be at this church. I want to be in your home. In the car with you. My heart is there. And he goes on. I love this. Just so powerful, so beautiful. He says, I will hear from heaven. Meaning this, there is no distance between us. Even in my place of power, you have full access to me. I hear from heaven. He says, I will forgive their sin. Meaning this, that I will remove every reason for you not to feel comfortable in my presence. I will remove every reason why you might feel uneasy being in my presence. I will take and lift the burden of your past, of your mistakes, of your sin. I will take care of that. I will remove everything that might separate us. I will forgive your sin. And then he ends up saying, I will heal their land, which means this. He says, I will take care of what concerns you. I will take care of what you're worried about. So as you look at your life, what's broken? What needs restored? What needs a miracle? God is saying, I'll provide. I'll answer. I'll heal. What an incredible promise. Can you imagine using this as a description? I mean, somebody comes up, well, tell me about your church. Well, I'll tell you, here's about my church. My church is a place where God looks you square in the eyes and says, I'm listening to you. He says that it's a place where God removes every reason why you might not be comfortable in his presence, and it's a place where God rebuilds what's broken. They're like, wow, I was just asking what the directions were to get there. It's like, no, it's more than a building, it's more than a place, it's more than a pews. This is a place where God is real. Tell me about your walk with God. Tell me about your relationship with God. Well, let me tell you about my relationship with God. I feel like home to God. There's no distance between me and God. He takes care of that. That God loves to be with me. Oh, it's different. That's drawing. That's what God is saying. This is what I want. Here's a picture. Here's the kind of church. Here's the kind of Christian. Here's the kind of relationship I want with you. And here, why wouldn't we want this to be true? Why wouldn't we want to be able to say that? I mean, I don't think anyone is here is like, no, I'm praying that God ignores me more this year. God, please don't answer my prayers as much. I mean, come on, Lord, I'm just getting too spoiled. No. Lord, I just got too much joy. 2017 was just way too good of a year. Let the next year just be a little bit more rotten for me. No. No. We want this. We desire this. We need this. Because we so desperately need a God that hears, a God that sees, a God that answers, a God that restores. And God is saying, this is what I want to do. And here's the thing, we want it to be true. We want it to be true. But wanting it isn't the problem, is it? We don't miss out on things because we don't want them. I don't think anybody has a problem of not wanting blessings, not wanting God to do things in our life. Wanting's not the problem. Well, I'm sorry your life is so miserable. Too bad you didn't want it to be good. Oh, I'm sorry, you know, you're just feeling so, you know, down. If you just wanted to be happy, that's all you needed to do. I'm sorry you didn't keep any one of your New Year's resolutions. You must not have wanted to do them. Wanting isn't the problem. We want things. I don't think any of us have a problem of making a Christmas list, right? I mean, the thing that we have a problem with is actually, we say, well, it's difficult to make a Christmas list. It might be because you're just embarrassed to put down the things that you really want. And it's like, well, I can't put that down because then I might look like I'm spoiled or, you know. Okay, we know what we want. We know what we need. But here's the thing. Wanting isn't the problem. We want God to bless our homes and our marriages. We want God to bless our families. We want God to be alive in us. We want to see God move. We want the presence of God. We want the blessing of God. But yet, how many of us miss it, but yet we're wanting? Wanting isn't the problem. There's got to be something more. And that's what I'm going to share right now. But here's the thing. For you to understand this, I need to teach you a little bit about computer programming. All right, now some of you are going, okay, see, you know, that's what I went to school for 100 years ago for this. But here's the thing, when I went to school, they were teaching us all about computers, and they had just invented them. It's been that long ago. The computers we worked on were about the size of my car, and, you know, all these things. But yet, the fundamentals were there, and they taught you. You know, here's how they work. Here's how it all fits together. And one of the first things they taught you, one of the first things in program they taught you was this statement called the if-then statement. And it worked like this. It says this. If this is true, then this is also true. You had two different statements. You had two different conditions. You had two different things going on. They might be similar. They might be totally separate. Didn't matter. It was an if-then statement that if this is true, then this is also true. So in the computer world, it looks something like this. It says, if you click the enter key, right? If you're in a word processor and you're typing something up, or you're typing email, or you're typing something in Facebook, whatever. If you click the enter key, then move the cursor to the next line. It's like, oh, yeah, that's how that works, right? If this is true, then this is also true. And that's how computers work. It's one of the fundamental things of how they work. Okay, if then. If this is true, and this is true, works together. Okay, they're connected. Now, it's also true in life. We see this in life, and you've grown to understand this and see this. In fact, I'm going to give you a couple here, and you'll be able to guess what the then is, right? Because you are smart, and you are learned, and you're going to understand. You see this principle. So in life here, let me show you one here, right? So if you poke a skunk with a stick, then, okay, think about it, what it's going to be. Then you will get sprayed, all right? If this is true, okay? Hey, well, you understand this? Okay, how about this one? If you don't show up to work, then, oh, is it going to get a promotion? Maybe no. What's going to happen? You're going to get fired. I'm not going to show up to work anymore. You're not going to become CEO of the company. It doesn't work that way. Okay? If this is true, this is true. Now, those are negative examples, but it's also true in a positive way. As we look at the new year and we try to get healthy and some of the things, this may be something that you're working on. I'm going to give you some insight here. How about this one? This next statement. If you burn more calories than you take in. Okay. If you burn more calories than you take in, what is going to happen? What's the result? Then you're going to lose weight. Okay. Real simple. Okay. If then. How about this one? If you spend less than you make. Some of you are going, what? That's possible? How is that? Okay. If you spend less than you make, what's the result? Then you're going to have margin in your finances. That's how it happens. It's not Oh, I know, I just need to get more credit card. No. If you spend less than you make, that is how you have margin. Okay? And this is both sides have to be true for this to work, even though they don't necessarily even have to have a connection. Okay? We learned this from the very beginning. We've got little babies. And little babies learn that if I scream my head off, right, then I get what I need. I get what I want. And they learn that at a very young age. And then we change the statement on them, and it takes a long time for them to understand that if you continue to scream your head off, you will get what you do not want, right? And so we try to teach that. But here's the thing. For this to work, for this statement to work, both sides have to be true. That's the key. Both sides must be true for this statement, for this concept to work. Now, here is the this is it. This is the way that God works. When we open our scripture, when we open the Bible, we see again and again and again and again that God makes these incredible promises. God makes these incredible things that he wants to do. And he says, then I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. But the problem is we miss the if. We miss the other side of the statement. We become so consumed with the then, we miss the if, and then we just start saying, well, maybe it's not for me. Maybe God's not really real. Maybe God dropped the ball. It's just not, I really want what God has for me. I really believe that God is able to do it. The problem is this, there's not truth on the other side. We haven't taken the time to understand what God is asking from us. And here's the key right here is this, that God uses this and asks us to do things, not because we have any play in the effect of what God does. We bring nothing to the table. It's not our strength. It's not our ability. It's not anything that we bring. But what God does with this, he says, I'm challenging you to trust me. I'm challenging you to grow you, to trust me. So I'm saying, if you are willing to do this, to trust me, to take a step of faith, to put into practice what I've laid out, then all that I have for you, all that I want to do for you is yours. It's truth that connects these things together. And see, we somehow along the way have thought in God is like some kind of cosmic Santa Claus and said, just bring it on, just bring it on, just bring it on. Just back up the truck of blessing, God. Just dump that in here. God doesn't work that way. We've missed it. And that's why so many miss out on God's blessings, on what God has for us, because we're all about the then. Give us the blessing. Give us the then. And missing what God is saying, if on your part, if on your part. So I want us to look at this passage in Scripture in an entirely different way. Now that we understand this, now that you are on your way to becoming great computer programmers and understanding the basis of this and applying this to Scripture, I want us to look at this Scripture and see how this works, and you see the clarity of it. And so as I was reading and I was studying this, just stood out and just said, God was just speaking. I want to do all of these things for you. If, look at this. This is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. What's the first word? If. God gets the syntax right. He's like, if my people who are called by my name will, what's the word? Humble themselves. And what's the next word? Pray. And what's the next word? Seek my face. And what? Turn from their wickedness ways. So if this statement is true, look at what he says next. Then this will also be true. I will hear from heaven. And I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And this is where we find the promise. He goes on. He says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to their prayers. I'm looking at you and I'm listening. Okay, offered in this place. This is where it's at. I have chosen and consecrated this temple. This is my address. This is where I want to live. That my name will be there forever. My eyes and my heart will always be there, this incredible promise that God gives, all of these things that God gives. We want this promise. We want that kind of relationship. We want that kind of church. We want to be that kind of people that God is listening, that God is paying attention, that God is doing all these things. But we get it not by wanting it. We get it by completing what God asked us to do, if. So that's what we're going to do. And so for the beginning of this year, we are going to focus on fulfilling our part and making our part of the statement true. And here's what I know. God never lies, and God can be trusted. That if we are willing to do what he is asking us to do, what you will discover so powerfully and without ever seeing God fail is that God will keep his word. That if we do what God asks us to do, then all of the promises that he made, we will see here, you will see at home, you will see in your life. If, then. So on the back of your bulletin, we've diagrammed some things out, and we are going to be launching this year this way, and I want to just go through this quickly, because here's what we're going to do. Starting next Sunday, hopefully it is about 100 degrees warmer. Starting next Sunday, we're going to start and we're going to humble. We're going to humble ourselves. And the best way that I know of humbling ourselves is fasting, because I hate to fast. I'm sure you hate to fast. It is humbling because it goes against our nature. So we're going to be talking about fasting. But here's the thing. We are not going to talk about skipping food. That is not what fasting is. Fasting is not about just you going hungry. I know wrestlers that go hungry and they don't grow spiritually because they skipped a meal. It has nothing to do with that. But we are going to understand that the power is in the exchange of what I want for what God wants. And we're going to learn to do it right. And here's the thing. I'm going to challenge you that we are going to go as a church and as individuals on a 5-day fast. Now, before you get up and run out of here thinking I'm crazy, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to do it, use the Jewish culture way of doing this from sunup to sundown. We're going to fast Monday through Friday from sunup to sundown. Now, some of you are thinking, "Woo! Hey, this is a really good time to do it because this is the least amount of sunlight of any time of the year." Well, God bless you for thinking that way, but that's not why we decided to do it. But here's the thing. We're going to talk about doing it right, about the exchange. And it's not only going to be food. Here's the challenging. This might be harder for some of you. We're going to fast in our social media and some of the other things that cause distractions in our life as well, because we're going to discover how it works. And what you will see is a powerful, powerful change when you take God at his word. And so for week one, we're going to humble. Turn to somebody and say, we're going to humble ourselves. We're going to humble ourselves. As a church, we're going to do it. Turn to somebody and say, you can do this. You can do it. You can be humble. Believe it or not, you can be humble. All right, next week, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to learn to pray again. For some, we've forgotten how to pray. I mean, honestly, we've gotten into a routine and it's not working. It's not working. It's not mumbling just a few words or just, you know, quitting when you run out of things that you want from God. We've missed it. We're going to learn how to move past our comfortable prayers and learn how to pray effectively so that it works and that it changes things. And so as a church, the action we're going to take together on this is we're going to open up. That week is going to be a week of prayer. We're going to keep the church open. We're going to have a sign-up sheet. We're going to take times. We're going to pray. We're going to pray. It's going to be a change. It's going to be a change in our habits, our lifestyle. But understand this. This isn't something that we're saying, well, you got to. This is an if. This is making this part of our statement true. There is a promise on the other side of this. There is a reason why we are doing this. We're going to talk about prayer. The third week, we're going to talk about seeking God's will, seeking. We're going to learn how to read the Bible so that we can find God's direction. There is a way that God, this incredible book that God gave us, and many of you don't even know how to read the Bible. And it's not about reading. There is a way, and there's intelligence and wisdom that God's word gives us on how to use God's word. And we're going to learn how to do that. We've got a reading plan that we're going to go through as a church that week. That together, as a church and as homes and individuals, we're going to put this in practice, humbling ourselves. We're going to pray. We're going to seek God's face, seek God's direction. And then that fourth week is turn. It's turn. And we have Brother Putnam going to be here. We're praying for an incredible move of God, that service, where we step away and we allow God to change our direction, change our heart, change our trajectory, and watch how God moves in such a powerful, powerful way when we humble ourselves, pray, seek His face, and turn from our ways. And here's the amazing thing. If we do this, then God will do what He's promised. And what you will begin to see is this, that God is a God that says, even if you begin to move in that direction, I understand your heart and your intentions. And right from week one, you will notice a change in your relationship with God. God doesn't say, well, you know, you're not through the four-week program yet. You know, let me know when you get to the end. God says, I understand your heart, and I'm with you every step of the way. And on that Monday, when you begin to set aside things and we begin that time of fasting, you will feel the presence of God maybe like you haven't felt in a long time. And as you get through that Tuesday and then Wednesday and on Friday, something's changing. You're going to come to church differently on that Sunday. It's going to sound different. It's going to feel different. There's a sense of, that. Wait a second, God is here. God is listening. God knows where I am. And as we begin to learn to pray and we begin to get past those bad habits of praying ineffective prayers, just really just wasting your time and God's time, and getting down to the way that God asked us to pray and called us to pray, and seeing things that we're praying for happen and God working and God changing hearts and lives. Our relationship with God changing, God keeping His promise, opening God's word and letting God just speak to you and give you direction. Coming in and allowing God to do the miraculous, we will see God keeping His promise. And we'll be able to go from here and, well, tell me about your church. It's like, oh, hey, my church. It's a place where God looks you square in the eye and says, I'm listening. It's a place where God does the miraculous. It's the place where you can come broken and leave restored. It's a place where it doesn't matter what the problem is. There's a God that says, I'm concerned and I want to resolve and fix that. That there isn't sin too deep. There isn't a past too broken. That God doesn't say, oh, wait a second, you're precious. My heart is there. That's what we want. That's what we need. But I know this morning as we're going through all this, some of you have already decided you aren't going to do it. Now, some of you don't even know this, but again, I think it'd be cool to have a camera up here or a mirror, because sometimes when I'm talking, you don't even know you're doing this, but you're going. It's kind of like, did I say that out loud kind of thing? But it's like, did I actually do that? It's like, hey, we're going to learn about fasting. It's like, not me. Not me. I'll smile, but you're going back. Hey, we're going to learn how to pray. No, sir. You just keep trying. Ain't going to work. Humble myself? Are you crazy? I'm here. I'm here for the donuts and the coffee. Don't ask me. Hey, I know there's pushback. I know that. And when that happens, it's usually because of usually, and it could be all kinds of things, but it's usually because of one of two things. One is you just don't believe that God tells the truth. Which, if that is really how you feel, then I don't understand why you're here today on weather like this. If you just don't believe God tells the truth, your bed is probably a lot warmer than the pew that you're sitting in. Right? And if you're going, ain't going to do it, don't believe that God tells the truth, well, I'm glad you're here, but wow. I hope you would at least try God. And that would be my challenge to you this time. It's like, okay, how about you just give God a chance? Maybe you discover that He does tell the truth. The other reason is this, is that we think we're the exception. We think we're the exception to the rule. Now, again, we love exceptions. They make great movies and great books, but they're not real. It doesn't happen in real life. You've seen it. It's the couple that says, we don't need a job. We're just going to live on love. Yeah. Come talk to me a couple days from now. You're going to get kind of hungry. Love isn't very filling to the stomach. We're the exception. You just don't understand. Right. Write that down because you're going to read it again later and you're going to understand. But the same is true when we come to God. We want all the blessings of God. But I don't want to do what God asked me to do. But I think I'm the exception because I'm expecting God to just do all the things he said to do. God, I know you said me to do this and you want me to do this. I ain't going to do that. But I'm still expecting you to do all that you want to do because I think I'm the exception. Turn to somebody and tell them, you are not the exception. You're not the exception. And here's why we struggle oftentimes with it, because oftentimes what God asks us to do has nothing to do with what he's promised to do. In fact, it looks like oftentimes, if you read the if and the then in Scripture, it looks like it's going backwards. God says, I want to bless your finances. Well, what do I need to do? Give away more money. It's like, what? Lord, I'm struggling financially. I want to bless. What do I need to do? Tithe. What? Wouldn't that make me have less money? See, you don't understand. It's not a conditional statement. It's not, they're not, they don't even have to be connected. What connects them is truth. That if this is true, then this is true. That God says, trust me, this will be true. I mean, we see it through Scripture again and again. Oh, Lord, I want you to forgive and forget my sin. How does that happen? Well, bring it up to me. No, God, I want you to forget about it. I know. How does that happen? Tell me about it. Lord, I want you to forget about it. Yeah, how does that happen? Talk to me about it. God says, wait a second, you don't understand. If this is true, then this is true. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. So that's where we're going as a church. That's where we're headed as a church. That we want this place and your home and your relationship with God to be described by the promises that God made. That my heart's with you. That my eyes and my ears are with you, my dwelling's with you, that I forgive you, that I heal your land, that I'm there for you. That's what we want, and if we want that to be true, then there's things that we've got to do. And with God's help, we will. And what we will discover is a God that keeps his promises. So this week, one of the things I want to challenge you to do is go back and look at the thens that you're expecting God to do. What have you been praying for? What are you wanting from God? Go find the if. You want peace? What does Scripture say peace is found from? You want God to restore something? You want God to move in an area in your life? Go back and see what God says. Hey, make this true, and this promise comes true. Begin to discover and seek after God. Don't just become satisfied with thinking that God doesn't love you or it doesn't work for you. The problem is you don't have a true statement. And that if you would begin to find what God is asking you to do and out of faith in your Savior, say, okay, God, I'm going to do it your way. What you will find every single time is a God that doesn't lie, a God that keeps his promise. Go find the if. Crack open that Bible. Do some digging. Do some studying. What have you been expecting God to do that it's not been happening? Am I missing something? Am I missing something? Find that. We're facing a new year. And I am so optimistic. I'm so excited about what God is going to do. He's been doing some great things. We've been growing. This year has just been crazy with all the new faces that God has brought through here. Life's being changed, people growing, people closer to God, but it is truly only the beginning. God has so much more for us if we're willing to do it his way, and that's what we're going to do. And we're going to encourage each other. We're going to come alongside each other and say, we're going to do this together. We find strength in that. And watch what God does in our homes, our families, our marriages, places where we work, places where we need miracles, places where we've given up hope on that God restores, places that need rebuilding that God puts back together, places that are hurting that God brings healing. And we discover that God is really greater than what we have ever even imagined. And we'll face the year together. There'll be good days. There'll be warmer days, Lord willing, hopefully. There'll be hard days. But through it all, God will be faithful. Could we stand together?